Morning. Today's Daf and Yuma is Ayin Dalet. We're going to be starting the eighth parak of the Masechta today. Let's get underway. Eighth parak is differentiated from the rest of the Masechta. The rest of the Masechta talked about Avodas Yom Kippurim. From 1 through 7, we detailed the sequence of Avodas that are done on Yom Kippur. And the Mishnayos took us step by step sequentially through what the Avodah is going to be looking like in the Beis HaMikdash for the Kohen Gadol. Now it's for the rest of us. For the rest of us in Yom Kippur. So what does Yom Kippur represent? So it represents the day of Mechila, of Tahara, of Kedusha. And it also obviously includes the Sefer Heter. There are things that we're not allowed to do on Yom Kippur. And there are Heterim as well. And so that's what the eighth parak represents. The eighth parak now represents the Yisuvah Heter side of Yom Kippur. We know that there are Inuim on Yom Kippur, that we have to afflict ourselves in Yom Kippur. That is a mitzvah of the Torah. Torah does not say to fast on Yom Kippur. Torah says, V'inisem es nafshor sechem, that you have to afflict yourself on Yom Kippur. Now, the Inu is going to be coming through fasting. How do we know that? Torah Shabbat Pet, today's daf. The Gemara is going to be giving us a series of drashos that tells us that the abstention from eating and drinking is really just a function of Inui. There are other abstentions as well that are included in Yom Kippur. There is clarity on one point, and then after that, it's a little bit less clear. The clarity on one point is that there are various inuyim, 5 to be specific. So they are all prohibited on Yom Kippur. We know that the abstention, the inui of achil v'shtia, so that comes with an isur karis, meaning somebody who intentionally eats on Yom Kippur, drinks on Yom Kippur, is subject to the karis penalty. We also know as a fact that the other inuyim do not have with it an onish of karis. So we know that there is levels in terms of the inuyim of Yom Kippur. Here's the part that's unclear. The other inuyim, which we're gonna delineate in just a moment. So they are isurim. They are isurim in a Torah. They are isurim derabanan. So that's not clear. I'll show you in just a moment. I'll show you a Tosus Shushanim on the daf today, who articulates the position. But it's really not clear as to whether or not the other inuyim are isurim daraisa or just isurim derabanan. But we certainly know that there is a staggering of the inuyim. And that achila v'shtia is an isur min haTorah coming with it an onesh of karis, and the other inuyim do not have karis. That we know for sure. Okay. With all that stated, let's begin. The Mishnah starts off Yom Kippurim aser be'achila v'shtia v'rechitza v'sticha v'nilas asanda v'tashmish amita. So the Mishnah outlines that on Yom Kippur, one is not allowed to eat and drink and bathe and sicha, anoint with oil, v'nilas asanda, put on shoes, leather shoes, v'tashmish amita, intimacy with one's wife. The Mishnah goes on to detail, however, there are heterim. So first of all, if you're a king or if you're a kala Rashi describes over here somebody who is a woman who was recently married within the first 30 days of her marriage. So she qualifies now as being called a kala. So yichutzu es peneihem, they are allowed to wash their face. A king is allowed to wash his face. Why? Why is it so important? So Rashi says because a king needs to worry about appearances based on a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Pasuk says, melech biyafyav techazenei necha. A king always has to look, I was going to say approachable.
Royal.
Right, that's probably not the best adjective. He has to look royal, he has to look regal, so he can wash his face. The Rashi says as far as the kala is concerned, so she has to look beautiful to her husband. It's they're newly married, and they still have to impress one another.
How about him? Why can't he wash his
face? Okay. Okay, but they don't want intimacy on Yom Kippur, but
no,
they just have to.
They want to be looking.
It's a fair question. I don't know. The hachayatin osa sandal, and also a woman who's just given birth, so she is allowed to wear some sort of protection for her feet, otherwise known as leather shoes. The cold floor would be difficult for her. Okay, the Gemara is going to be discussing all these heterim. So when we get to the Gemara later, not today, so we're going to be discussing all these heterim. By the way, the Mishnah says, Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. These heterim are provided by Rabbi Eliezer. And Rashi says that it's all these heterim that are provided by Rabbi Eliezer. The Chachamim, most of them, the Chachamim disagree on, and the way Rashi presents it on all these heterim that we just went through. Okay, much to discuss, but not for today. Ha'ocha ka'kasuf ha'zagasa kamo'ocha garina. Okay, shiurim, how much do you eat on Yom Kippur in order to be subject to the liability? So if you eat the size of a kosefas agasa, that is a date with its pit, Now, obviously, you're not eating the pit, but the point is that we're talking about a volume. And so since we're talking about a volume, so we're talking about the whole date, including the pit, right? Ironically enough, if you eat a date, so you didn't eat the shear because obviously you're not eating the pit. So you have to eat the volume's worth of a date and its pit. If you eat a cheekful of liquid, you're going to be chayev. And then we have the concept of siruf, a concept we spoke about extensively back in Shabbos when talking about carrying and how much food to carry and how foods combine with one another. Same thing over here on Yom Kippur. So we now know that the volume of food in order which one would be liable is a kosevis. And now you can take various foods, combine them in order to get to the shear. Obviously, a shear you don't want to get to because it results in liability. Same thing is true with drink. Any and all drinks will combine in order to get you to the shear. So however, eating and drinking are not going to combine with one another. In other words, they are two separate actions, two separate activities, and therefore they do not combine with one another. Okay, as promised, Tosfos Yeshanim right here in the beginning of the perek. So he discusses now, eating and drinking carry with it a liability of kares. Okay, in the Mishnah, there are other inuyim, Tosfos Yeshanim writes, Yom Kippur Masa Bachil V'Shtiyo V'Chitza V'Sicha Lich Ora. Okay, Tosfos Yeshanim is small in its lettering. It's on the bottom of the Amud. So Lich Ora Mashma, Shekol Eilu Ha'inuyim Chutz Me'achil V'Shtiyo Midrabanan. So he says the other inurim are rabbinic legislation, but not isurim in the Torah. So again, he's based himself on the fact. The fact is that the Gemara is going to say this explicitly, that achil v'shtiyah comes with an onus of kares. The other inurim do not have an onus of kares. So the Tosfos Yeshanim says, yeah, because they're not isurim d'oraisa, they're isurim d'rabbanan. And we saw already in the Mishnah that there are heterim. Are there heterim for eating? Well, the answer is going to become yes. But that's by sekanos nefashos. If a person is in critical condition, so then yeah, he eats and that person drinks. That part's true. But that's a heter pikuach nefesh. But when we're talking about a king washing his face, we're talking about a kala washing her face. That's clearly not sakanas nefashos. That's just simply a heter in Yom Kippur. So Tosfos Yeshanim saying, how do we have these kinds of heterim? So Tosfos Yeshanim says, yeah, because once the Isser is an Isser derabanan, heim amru veheim amru. So the rabbis legislate, but the rabbis also create leniencies within their legislation. So a king and a kala can wash their face. A chai can wear shoes. Presumably, we're not talking about sakanas nefashos because if we are, so this is a heter that no one would dispute, right? The chachamim wouldn't be arguing with Rabbi Eliezer. So it's an issur d'rabbanan. Therefore, there are certainly leniencies carved out in the issur d'rabbanan. Okay. So the Tosfos Yeshanim voices a very clear position that outside of eating and drinking, the other inuyim are rabbinic institutions, but are not issur d'oraisa. Okay, this is a much longer discussion because there are Rishonim who are of the opinion that the other inuyim are isuri d'oraisa, not isuri d'rabbanan. If I'm not mistaken, I should have been more prepared to have the Rambam in front of me, but the Rambam happens to be one of those Rishonim that the other inuyim are isuri d'oraisa. The Rambam will, of course, agree because the Gemara tells us that the other inuyim do not have with an onish kares, but they're isuri d'oraisa as well. Okay, let's...
What's the difference what you eat?
Because I don't want to spend too much time on a havamina, but the point is that the isser on Yom Kippur is not to eat. The isser on Yom Kippur is to afflict yourself. So if you have a little bit of food and a little bit of liquid, so now you're a little bit, you're a little bit.
I'm not talking about a little bit. I'm talking about combining to make a
shear.
To make a shear. So what? No chiddush. Once you have the shear, that's it. It doesn't matter what you eat.
Yeah, but the eating and drinking are considered two totally separate. Okay, good, fine. Okay, aser and ashkarisu. So the Gemara is bothered by the language of the Mishnah. So the Mishnah seems to be a little bit light on its language, right? The Mishnah says that these activities are aser. That's light language. Yeah, it is light language because it's not just aser. It comes with it an onish kares. Now, as the Gemara later on will point out, the Mishnah could just simply be establishing that it's prohibited. But right now, at this juncture of the Gemara is really bothered by the fact that if we're talking about Nisr Kare, so the Mishnah should be the Mishnah should be sharing with us the full onesh of what happens when one eats and drinks in Yom Kippur. And why is the Mishnah only talking about an Isser? The Mishnah really should be describing an onesh kareis. So I'm Rabbi Yelavi, Temi Rabbi Yemer, Lanitzrucha, El Lachatzi Shir. So the Gemara starts off and barks on a major discussion, which is really the bulk of today's daf, and it's a major, so again, that is, well, what if you don't eat the full shear? Meaning the Mishnah is talking about where I do not eat the full shear. The Mishnah, of course, tells us what the shear is, but when the Mishnah says that it is us, or eating and drinking are us, or, it's talking about chatzi shear. It's talking about eating less than a shear. Now the term, don't let the term fool you, the term is chatzi shear, so there is an opinion out there that it actually means half the shear, but Rashi on today's daf, I could point to a couple of Rashis, but Rashi in today's daf clearly is of the position, chatzi shear just simply means that you eat less than a shear. And it could be any amount. And the Gemara is saying that what our Mishnah is describing right now is that if on Yom Kippur I eat less than a shear, that too is going to be usher. And this is the topic of chatzi shear.
So but in this case, like 65% considered like whole?
No, we're talking about now eating less than the shear. The shear gets you to the punishment.
99%.
It could be 1%. It doesn't matter how much you eat. No, in other words, to get to an onus, you need a shear, right? There's a threshold. Anything below threshold, you're not going to get the onus. Okay, so you're not going to get the onus, but still, it's going to be aser. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. Perfect question. It's a perfect question. Let's just first run through the Gemara. So hani chalaman damer chatzis shir asa min haTorah laman damer chatzis shir mutar min haTorah ma'ikal ameimar. So the Gemara says, great. So if you happen to be of the position that chatzis shir is asa min haTorah, that's great. But if you happen to be of the position that chatzis shir is mutar min haTorah, so what are you going to say? So deitmar. And the Gemara now gives us a formal introduction to this major debate amongst the Amoraim. Chatzis shir Rabbi Yochanan amar asa min haTorah v'yish lakish amar mutar min haTorah. So when you're eating less than a shear, so Rabbi Yochanan says that too is a violation of the Torah. Granted, it comes with it no punishment, but still the Torah prohibits even eating less than the shear. Now Reish Lakish is of the opinion that it's mutar min haTorah. So Hanicha, the Gemara just simply rephrases the question. Hanicha Rabbi Yochanan el Reish Lakish Michael Amemar. Good. So Mo de Reish Lakish asa mid derabanan. So the Gemara says, you probably guessed this was coming. The Gemara says, that Reish Lakish says, yeah, it's true. Eating less than a shear is not going to result in a Torah prohibition, but it's still going to be rabbinically prohibited and perfectly understandable. Meaning this is one of those rabbinic legislations that is super intuitive, right? You eat less than a shear and the Torah allows it. And then what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to have another bite. It is awesome at the Rabbanan to do so, according to Reish Lakish. So comes out now that really there is no strong question from our Mishnah against Reish Lakish. Our Mishnah says that our Mishnah is talking about eating less than a shear. The Mishnah uses the term aser, according to Rav Yochanan, yeah. It's chatzi shear, it's aser min haTorah. According to Reish Lakish, also yeah. It's chatzi shear is aser midrabanan. But they're both aser. It's just a question of whether we're talking about issa d'oraisa, issa d'rabanan. The svaras behind Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish, we're going to be discussing a little bit later this morning, but right now we got a little bit of heavy lifting to do. Because it comes out now that that Reish Lakish sets up our Mishnah as eating, and Rav Yochanan as well, sets up our Mishnah as eating less than a shear, and that's why the Mishnah only uses the word aser, because it's only aser, and it doesn't come with it in onesh of karis. So the Gemara says, Ihachi lo nechayev ala karban shvua. So the Gemara says, okay, well, if that's true, so then there should be no karban shvua in the following circumstance. So, in order to appreciate now what the Gemara is about to do, so the Gemara now is going to be quoting a Mishnah, happens to be a Mishnah from Shavuos, and how we set up the Mishnah, and what we're going to be listening for carefully is how Reish Lakish sets up the Mishnah. And once we see that, we're going to be bothered by a question. So in order to get to a question, we got to put a lot of pieces of information together. So let's first start off with a Mishnah. Alama Tanam, we learned the following Mishnah in Shavuos. Shavuos shalo ochel, v'ochel nevel strefa shkatzim v'ramasim. Chayev. Rabbi Shimon Poter, a person makes a shvur and he says, I'm not going to eat. And then he goes and eats foods which are prohibited. Now, those foods which are prohibited to him. So already the Torah tells him he cannot eat it. So was it included in a shvur? Presumably not. Because he made a shvur that he's not going to eat. Well, and again, over here. Right. So I anticipated the question. So I assume over here it's for a certain amount of time. whatever the case is, it's right. In other words, to make a shvua that he's not going to eat indefinitely is a nonsense shvua. It's a shvua shav. All right, so let's just assume that it was for a temporary amount of time. Anyway, the mission wants to make the following point, and that is that since the prohibited food nevel and treifa shkatzim v'ramasim are already prohibited to him, so is that going to be incorporated in the shvua? So oddly enough, the chachamim say yeah. And if he eats non-kosher food, he's going to be in violation of his shvua. And Rabbi Shimon poter. And Rabbi Shimon says that he's poter. Now, the Gemara asks the obvious question on this mission, shvuos. What are you doing? You're making a shvua prohibiting that prohibited food. That prohibited food is already prohibited to you. And the way the Gemara describes it, as it always does, is that that also was prohibited through what is called a shvua. Mushba v'omidhu. Meaning that by Mamon Har Sinai, so we pledge, we made an oath that we're going to abide by the Torah. So there's a shvua, granted it's generational, but it doesn't matter. There's a shvua that is upon all of us already not to eat prohibited foods. So what are we doing over here? We're going to make another shvua that it's prohibited to us. It's already stands by shvua that we're not allowed to eat it. So the sheet of the Chachamim over here is really difficult to understand. They said that if you made a shvua, you're not going to eat and you eat non-kosher food. So you're now in violation of your shvua. How? Your shvua didn't add anything. That's a simple question. And the Gemara now is going to give two approaches to the answer. Now, obviously, both approaches are worthwhile to look into, but right now we're focusing on the second approach, which is Reish Lakish's approach. But let's go first with the first approach. Rav Shmuel v'Rav Yochanan d'amri b'kol dorim umutarim im dvarim ha'asurim. So you have this concept of what's called kolal, meaning that what you're doing is that it's an incorporation. By your shvua, you're prohibiting permitted foods. So, migu, since you're prohibited permitted foods, you're also prohibited foods as well. It comes in through incorporation. This is the idea of kolal. It's synonymous with the word migu in this context. Good. That's one approach. And that is how you can have a shvua come and land on prohibited foods. That's approach number one. Okay, a lot to think about over there, and I know I'm not providing the requisite time for thinking, but we're going to move on to approach number two, because that's right now, for our Gemara, that's what we want to focus on. So, Reish Lakish Amar Yatamotzi Ela B'Mefarsh Chati Shir V'Aliba D'Rabbanan O B'Stam V'Aliba D'Rabbi Kiva D'Amar Adam Osor Atzma B'Chol Shehu. So, Reish Lakish says like this, you know what your Shavuot is going on? Your Shavuot is going on a Chati Shir. Now, here it gets a little bit technical, because I read it really quickly, but if you look at the Gemara says, if you're going like the Chachamim, you have to be Mefarish, that's Chatzi Shir. And if you hold like Rabbi Akiva, so then you don't have to be Mefarish. Now this debate between the Chachamim and Rabbi Akiva is a detailed debate in terms of when you make a Shvua, does that Shvua default apply to only a Shir's worth of food? Or does that Shvua by default apply to even any amount of food? So it happens to be a machlokus between the Chacham and Rabbi Kiva. So, right now I don't want to get involved in that machlokus. Reish Lakish is just simply saying, whoever I hold like will make the Shvua work for whoever, whether I hold like the Chachamim or like I hold like Rabbi Kiva. The point is that my Shvua now is including, meaning it is innovating, it is including. It's including prohibited foods, even less than a Shir. Okay, now.
You're expanding.
Right, so you're expanding what the Torah prohibited. Perfect. So the Torah prohibited a shear's worth of food, and with your shvua, you say that by shvua, I'm not going to be eating even less than a shear. Good. Now, v'chi tema, it was, as we are now on the top of Ayin Dalet, Amud Aleph, v'chi tema came to Islay, heter min haTorah, kachayel carbon shvua. Now, you'll tell me that min haTorah, it's mutter. And that's why your shvua is going to be abiding. It's going to take effect. So the Gemara says that, wait one second. You now are, according to Reish Lakish, this is the point that we have to absorb. According to Reish Lakish, the Chatzi Shir, so is that a Torah prohibition or a rabbinic prohibition? According to Reish Lakish, it's a rabbinic prohibition. You, by making the Shavuot that you're not going to eat Chatzi Shir, you are now introducing upon yourself what kind of prohibition now? Only a rabbinic prohibition, not a Torah prohibition. So now, is a Shavuot which is introducing upon yourself a rabbinic prohibition. Is that the kind of shvua where you're going to have to go through all the ramifications of having made a false shvua? And when I say all the ramifications, I mean, are you going to be bringing a carbon shvua? Meaning, is it going to now trigger you to bring a carbon? Right? Violation of a shvua, right? Willful, not willful. right? An intentional violation of a shvua results in bringing a carbon. It's called the carbon shvua, right? Back in shvuas, we discussed this at length. So is that in fact the case? V'hatanan. And now that's where the Gemara now leads us to. We learned in the Mishnah, another Mishnah in Shavuos. Shavuos Ha'edus Eina Nohagas Ela Bruin La'ha'id. So the Shavuos Ha'edus is only going to be Noeg for somebody who is eligible to testify. Okay, Shavuos Ha'edus, another circumstance where you will be bringing a particular, special type of carbon. The carbon is called the carbon Olavi Yared. It means as follows. You were subpoenaed to go to court. Apparently you have some testimony. And you simply say, I don't have testimony. What are you talking about? I am, I'm ignorant. And they say, would you swear? And you say, sure, no problem at all. And you swear that you don't know anything. Turns out that you lied and you really did know something. So this is what's called a shvuas ha'edus. And under those circumstances, it's so funny. I did hesitate whether or not this is intentional or unintentional. By shvuas ha'edus, it happens to be the carbon's going to come about. Oh, it's a good memory. The carbon's going to come about whether you did it b'shogeg or even if you did it b'mezid. Okay. So, and it's an unusual halacha. It doesn't apply in other areas. Generally by carbon, it's shogeg, not mezid. Okay, regardless. The point is as follows. So you were subpoenaed to testify. You swore that you didn't know testimony. It turns out you did. And now you were like a kapara. So you bring a carbon shvuas ha'edus. Now, that's the Mishnah. So, but the only time you bring a carbon is that if you could have gone to court and you could have testified. Now, obviously, the exclusion over here are people who are just simply not able to testify. Women can't testify in court. So, under most circumstances, there are a couple of exceptions, but they can't testify in court. So, if you're a woman and you were subpoenaed, which is a silly sentence because you're not going to be subpoenaed, but if you're a woman subpoenaed and you swore that you didn't know information, so you're not going to be chayav karban shvua because you can't testify. That's the easy part. But the Mishnah says that you have to be roi lahaid. What is the Mishnah making reference to? Ve'havina ba'lamute mai. So what are we coming to exclude? Rapap amar lamute melech. A king can't testify. Second perek of Sanhedrin. The Gemara there outlines how a king cannot testify. Why that's the case? That's a great question. Not for now. And Rav Acher bar Yaakov amar lamute mesachet b'kubya. And according to Rav Acher bar Yaakov, it's describing somebody who is a gambler. A gambler is disqualified from testifying. Disqualified min Torah? Torah disqualifies a gambler? No. The rabbis disqualified a gambler. It's a Mishnah Sanhedrin, third perek. So there are a couple of activities which the rabbis really said, that's a shady activity, and therefore he can't testify. A lengthy discussion in the Gemara Sanhedrin, why gambler can't testify, but right now, it is sufficient to say that he's not a bona fide thief. Let's just say it like this. He's less than a bona fide thief. And so therefore, min ha-tori could testify, but the rabbi said, no, we're not going to accept his testimony. So that's exactly the Gemara's point. That min ha-tori could testify, and the rabbis disqualified him, velo chayla ala shvua. And even though he's rabbinically prohibited, the shvua does not take effect on him. Okay, so we just put together a lot of information, and hopefully I'm going to be clear enough, but hopefully you'll follow. So now what have we just learned? That if your disqualification is a rabbinic disqualification, you're still going to be precluded from the shvua. We saw that clearly by shvua sa'edus. You can't testify. Now, rabbinically, you can't testify, but that's enough. That's enough where if you were subpoenaed to go to court and you happen to be a professional gambler, so you are, and you suppress, and you deny knowing something, turns out you did, you're not going to be bringing carbon shvua. Why? Because you can't testify. You can't testify midrabanan? Okay, but you can't testify. And so therefore, you're going to be exempt from the shvua. Now let's move that over now to eating. You said, this is Reish Lakish, this is all Reish Lakish's viewpoint. You said you're not going to eat, and you said you're not going to eat less than a shear. Okay, now, Mina Torah is mutter. It's only us and Midrabban according to Reish Lakish. Okay, but you added that to now the prohibition via your own shvua. Is that shvua going to be chal? Is it going to have any status? Presumably the answer should be no. Just like by Eidus the answer was no, so too by Achila the answer should be no. And meanwhile, the Mishnah in Shavuos, according to Reish Lakish, is teaching us that if you added to the Isser of the Torah by introducing Chatzi Shir upon yourself, you are going to be Chayv Karban Shavuah. That's the Gemara's question. By Shavuos HaEdus, rabbinic prohibition precludes you from the Shavuah and from the Karban Shavuah. So by Achila, so the Isser de Rabbanan should also preclude you from the Shavuah, from the Karban Shavuah. That's the Gemara's question. The Gemara gives an answer. Shani Hasam Damakra Im Lo Yagid. So Vahaila Bar Hagaduhu Klal. So okay, so the Gemara gives a pretty straightforward answer. And that is that when it comes to the Karban HaEdus, it really is a question of results. Can you testify yes or no? That's it. Why you can't testify is immaterial. You can't testify. Either the rabbi said I can't testify. It's not the Torah that says like doesn't matter. By the Karban Shavuah, it is a function of are you in a position to testify? If not, so you're precluded from the Karban from the Karban Eidos. But when it comes to Achila, does the Torah allow you to eat Chatzi Shir? Yeah. Now, granted, the rabbis prohibited it to you, but the Torah allows it. And now with your Shavuah, you're now adding an Issa Daraisa through your Shavuah to eat Chatzi Shir. So that is new. That can overlay on top of the Issa Darabanan. And that's why you would be Chayv Karban Shavuah. Good. That's the distinction between the two. Okay. Admittedly, that first part of today's daf, it's a complex piece. But what do you mean? It sounds like the Gemara sounds like the distinctions to be very good. But again, by the way, all this is a discussion. Just keep in mind. All this is a discussion within Reish Lakish. So the first question you should be asking is, do we pass on like Rav Yochanan, or do we pass on like Reish Lakish? Okay, good. Okay. So I know it's coming. Huh? Rav Yochanan says that Chatzi Shir is also in the Torah. So the Torah already prohibits it. So for Rav Yochanan, the Shavuah of adding Chatzi Shir is not an addition. The Torah already prohibited that. Which is, by the way, why Rav Yochanan now... I know we're going through all this really quickly. That's why Rav Yochanan has to look at that Mishnah Shavuos in a totally different manner. Okay, good. Okay, let's continue. V'chol Heicha. We are on Ayin Dalam and Aleph. We are about a third of the way down. And continuation of the Gemara's discussion. This discussion of Chatzi Shir, a really basic discussion in the Gemara, is all predicated upon our Mishnah that says Aser and does not use the word Kares. And it bothered the Gemara. Why didn't the Mishnah use the word Kares? Ah, because it's talking about Chatzi Shir. So the Gemara says, was the opening question even a legitimate question? Gemara asks, V'chol Heicha, didn't he, and is Kares lo tani aser? So really, is that true? That just because the Mishnah failed to say Enosh Kares, so it allowed us to have this entire discussion about Tanya, we'll enter a Braisa. Afa Pishamar Aser Bekulan. So even though they're all aser, all the Inuyim are aser. Clearly, but the only time that there's an onus of kares is only by eating and drinking, and somebody who does malacha and Yom Kippur, but that's it. For any of these other activities outlined in the Mishnah, it's aser, but it doesn't come with an onus of kares. So you see over here in this braisa that the word aser is used. So the hachi kamer kishamru aser lo amru ela bekechatzi shir. So the Gemara says, oh, okay, fine. But this is how we'll understand the Braisa. That when they said Aser, Aser only went on Chatzi Shir. Meaning, the word Aser by itself is going on Chatzi Shir. Meaning, because if we were talking about Shir, we wouldn't use the word Aser. We would use the word Chayv Enosh Kares. Ava B'Kashir Enosh Kares. Okay, V'Afa Pish Enosh Kares, Ein Enosh Kares El Ocha V'Shosa V'Osa Malacha Bavan. Okay, and even when we're talking about kares, it only applies to eating and drinking and malacha. That is one way to approach it. So in other words, basically the Gemara is defending. Yeah. If the Mishnah was talking about Shir, the Mishnah would have used the word kares. And the Braisa would have used the word kares. And maybe also, when using the word aser in the context of the Braisa, it wasn't going on achila v'shtia. Maybe it was just simply going on the other inuyim. Detana Rabba Rav Yosef v'shar sifrei. Rabba and Rav Yosef taught the following in Shar Sifrei. So Rashi says that we're talking about not the Medrash on Vayikra, but we're talking about the Medrash on by Midbar and Devarim. Okay, Sifrei. So Debei Rav, right? That's a it's a Medrash. Right? You've been with me enough times. You know it's not Medrash Agada. It's a Medrash Halacha. Okay, not to belabor right now. Anyway, Minayli Am Kippur and Shalsa Brachitza B'Sicha V'Nilas Asan V'Tash Meshamita Tamalamar Shabbason Shavos. So how do I know that on Yom Kippur you're not allowed to bathe, anoint? wear shoes and tashmi shemitah intimacy. So the pasuk says Shabbaton Shavos. Shavos means that you have to pause. You have to have a cessation from these types of activities. Meaning it's an asmachta. Rashi says. So Rashi writes in Dibra Maskel Shabbaton. V'gabi inu iksiv v'chi hechi Shabbaton amar b'Shabbos asmechu bei Rabbanan shar malacho shelo yehe b'mishkan veinu malacho gemura. Just like by Shabbos, we have Shavos, right? Otherwise stated, Shavos, right? Shavos. So we have that term as it relates to Shabbos. Those are all the rabbinic legislations that are added to Shabbos, Muksa and the like. So Hachinami. So here also by Yom Kippur, we have a Shavos of Inuyim. Hachinami, Rashi writes, Shabbaton, the Gabi Inui, Dichtiv Shabbaton, Hu Lachem V'inisem Es V'inisem, Lo Sifal Inui, Achila V'shtia Kasi. Meaning the Torah's Inui is eating and drinking. The rabbis added to that other Inuyim as well. Okay. As I mentioned at the beginning of Shir today, it's clear. Meaning the one thing that we could say with clarity is that on Yom Kippur, eating and drinking is an Inui that is Aser min HaTorah. If you eat a shear's worth of food or liquid, so you're subject to the Karis penalty. That part's clear. Also, we could say with clarity, the other Inuim do not have with it an Iser of Karis. That we could say for certain. And the part that's open-ended, as I mentioned at the beginning of Shir, but now that we just ran through the Gemara, so you see clearly in the Gemara is ambiguous in terms of whether they are Isuri Daraisa or the Isuri Darabanan. Now, it granted that the Gemara just quoted at the end, Shabbaton Shvus, sounds like an Isuri Darabanan, that certainly bides well by the Tosfos Rishonim that we started off our morning with, but again, just keep in mind that in the context of the Gemara was having a lengthy discussion within the Shita of Reish Lakish. So maybe, according to Reish Lakish, it's an Issa Derabanan. That doesn't mean that is the agreed-upon position. We certainly know the word of choice used both by the Mishnah and by the Braisa is the word Aser. Okay, but it doesn't say Aser Mid Derabanan or Aser Mid HaTorah. Okay. We get to extend the discussion of Chatzis Shir. Let's do so right now. We're two-thirds of the way down in the Gemara Gufa. Chatzis Shir, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, also Minatora, Reish Lakish Amar, Muta Minatora. Okay, so we reintroduce the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. It really is a fundamental debate. If you eat less than the Shir, does the Torah prohibit it, or is it a rabbinic prohibition? Rabbi Yochanan Amar, also Minatora, Kevin de Chazi, Litzuri, Fi, Isuri, Ka'achel. So Rabbi Yochanan gives a svara. Okay, it's interesting. Right? This doesn't happen often. Just, I'm highlighting how rare a moment it is. We have svaras all the time throughout the Gemara, right? And we like svaras because it's reasonable, rational. It speaks to us. But a svara to introduce us to an Isser Min HaTorah, right? That's it does happen. It just doesn't happen as often as you think. But it's a svara. And that is, look, if I eat less than a shear, but this is now, coupled with another, it'll compound me to the point in which I'm going to get to a shear. It's chazi li itzderufe. And so since this can result in a full shear, therefore it is significant, therefore the Torah prohibits it. That's the rationale behind the sheet of Rav Yochanan. So, kevin de chazi li itzderufe, yisuri ka'achel. Reish Lakish amar muta min haTorah achila merachman avaleika. And Reish Lakish's position is no. That the Torah only prohibits that when you eat a shear. Anything less than a shear is less than the requisite amount. And it doesn't define itself as an achila. Meaning, Reish Lakish's position I'm going to make an obvious point. It's a legal position. Meaning that the Torah prohibits eating. Eating by definition has a requisite shear. So anything less than that is not considered eating. So that's why the Torah would allow it. Again, the rabbis prohibited it, but the Torah allows it. Okay. So we have now a little bit more clarity in terms of the positions of Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish in terms of Chatzis Shir. Eitzvei Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish. So now a direct challenge from Rabbi Yochanan to Reish Lakish goes as follows. Ainli ala kol sheyesh nabo nish yesh nabo azara. So anything that has with it a punishment has with it, the azara has with it the warning. Rashi points out over here that before we get to the Rashi. Let's do the Rashi right now. Sorry. Ainli ala sheyesh nabo nish yesh nabo azara. So Rashi writes, Gabi chelev kai, de on shova azara smuchim zelazeh. So here we're talking about the Isra of chelev. Okay, so there are the hardened fats of an animal, not the muscular fat. That's not usr. In fact, it's delicious. We're talking about various fats. So in chulin, we went through in the third parak. We detailed every organ of the animal and which of the fats qualify as what's called chaleth. So the generally speaking, it's the fats that surround the organs. So anyway, so it's chaylev. Gabi chaylev kai. I'm reading the Rashi. Don't shav azaras muchin lezel azeh. In the Torah, you're going to find both the azara, that's the yeser, and the onish, and they're right next to each other. Kol chaylev shor v'kesev eiz lo so chaylu. Hare azara. So the Torah says, don't eat chaylev, and then the Torah goes on to say, v'samich le ki kol ochel chaylev min abeima. And right, and the pasuk goes on to say that you're gonna get karis v'nichrasa. So hare onesh, that's the onesh. So ainly ela sheim mozer ela al kishir shehu onesh alav karis. The gabi onesh lo ksiv kol achelav ela a ochel dichsiv ki kol ochel chelav. So by virtue of the fact that they're right next to one another, and we know that the iser is going on a shear, so the onesh also is going on the shear. Good. Now. So when it comes to the koi is an animal where we're not sure if it is a behema or a chaya. Now that's a really important question because the chaylev of a behema is aser, the chaylev of a chaya is mutter. You have this animal and it's somewhere categorically in the middle. So, it's a suffix. And also the mitzvah of kisui adam, another ramification of whether or not it's a behemah or chaya. So, but right now we're talking about the isurim. So, how do I know that that's going to be prohibited? So, meaning there's not going to be a there's not going to be an onesh. So, I might have thought that there's no iser. So, Tom, and the same thing. I'm sorry, and the same thing is true with chatzishir. There's no onesh for chatzishir. Maybe there's no iser. Tam alamer kol chelev. So the kol chelev, so what's the kol chelev coming to do? It's coming to introduce an iser. And we're darshaning a pasuk. So what does that seem to indicate? It's an iser mena Torah. So the Rav Yochanan says perfect. Meaning here we have a scenario, the Brice is spelling out that there are going to be occasions where there's no onish, but there's still an azara. And one of the examples that are given of the two examples is chatzi shir. Rav Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, right? You're with me. And Reish Lakish says, no. I'm not with you. So Reish Lakish will say, look, you have a drasha. Not every drasha is a din d'oraisa. There are drashas that are dine d'rabbanan. Now, how do we know? Because we read the Gemara. But in other words, that's exactly the debate between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish will tell you that that's not a din d'oraisa. That's just an asmachta. The rabbis legislated, and as they often do, they connect their legislation to Pesukim, but that doesn't mean that's an issa d'oraisa. So hachinami mistaber diisakadacha daraisa kois fekahu itzur krali suyis feka and Reish Lakish says, and you know I'm right because there were two examples of items where there is no onish. One of them is a koi. Now a koi is a suffix. It may be a behema, maybe a chaya. Now I need the Torah to tell me that I can't eat it. Didn't we know that already? If you have a suffix on an isur daraisa, suffix daraisa is lechomra. And I need a drasha to tell me that I shouldn't be eating the chilev of a koi? I knew that already. So, im shemha lo irya. So the Gemara says, okay, that last point, I guess, you know, this still could be a dialogue. But that last point that Reish Lakish just offered, so the Gemara says, that's not such a compelling point. Because kasavre, because it could very well be, the author of this brisa is of the position that koi biri b'fnei atzmahi, the koi over here is not a suffek, it happens to be. It's an independent category. In other words, there are three categories of animals. There's behema, there's chaya, and then there's this hybrid animal. But it's not one or the other. We don't know. It exists as an independent category. And then if that's true, so now you understand why the brisa needs a drasha to include it. So diilo temahachi hadam ravidi baravin. We're on the top of the amud beis af kol lasui koi koi sfekahu. So koi sfekahu. It's the kral ribui sfeka. So the Gemara says, okay, and we have a drasha. This is by the consumption of blood, right? In other words, we're not allowed to eat the blood of an animal, and the Brice over here is telling us that you're not allowed to eat the blood of a koi. Now, you're not allowed to eat the blood of a koi. Why would I need a drasha to tell me that? Meaning it's an animal. Regardless of whether it's a behemoth or whether it's a chaya, it's an animal. I need a drasha to tell me that I can't eat the blood of the koi? So the Gemara says, yeah, because the author of this brisa is of the position that the koi is not a behemoth, it's not a chaya. So now it's this new category. Okay, so the Torah doesn't address it. So without the drasha, so you would have thought that's mutter. That's why I need a drasha. Okay, so it comes out now that Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish end on a debate. They say it's a machlokas l'shem shemaim, it's miskayim. And the debate now just simply remains, where Rav Yochanan says that chasi shir is awesome in a Torah, and Reish Lakish is of the position that chasi shir is mutter min haTorah. The Rambam takes on Rav Yochanan's position, as you would imagine. Machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rishir is halach la Moshe Mitzina. The Gemara in Sukkah. No, what Rav Yochanan will tell you, is that the shear is there for onesh. Meaning the Torah prohibits any amount. There's a halach l'moshe misina, correct. A halach l'moshe misina is there for onesh. No.
So where's the karet come from?
There is no karis. The Torah prohibits it, but without an onesh.
Okay.
No onesh.
No.
It's just that the Torah prohibits it. Okay. Not corporal punishment. In other words, now he has that goes on his ledger, and you know I'm not, and that's his job. Okay. No, there's no corporal punishment. No corporal punishment. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Okay. Good. Now for the remainder of today's daf, we're going to run through it. We are just going to discuss more about this idea that the Torah on Yom Kippur does not say don't eat. The Torah says that you have to afflict yourself. Just as an interesting note, I've heard this numerous times, right? The Torah frames that as a positive, even though, of course, it is all abstention and it's all the don'ts. But the way the Torah phrases it is ve'ini semes nafshar seichem. You must create uncomfortable situations. So just an interesting note that it's framed as a positive, even though it's all a list of don'ts. Tanu Rabbanu Gemara quotes the following brisa: Tanu Snafsho Seichem, that on Yom Kippur you have to be ta'anu. So yachol yeshu b'chamo b'tzina kedei sheyitzta'er. So a reading of the Torah may lead us to the conclusion that you know what, you have to afflict yourself on Yom Kippur. Okay, so go outside, right, in the heat. Or if you're living somewhere up north, go outside to the cold. and make yourself really uncomfortable. So tam alamer v'chol malacha lo saseh. So how do I know what the definition of v'nisem es nafsho seichem? So this is one of those classic gemaras where the answer is, how do we know? Because we have a mesorah and we have a Torah Shabbat Peh. But this is classic gemara where the gemara would like to give structure and framework in terms of, is there a way to argue that the inisim is resulting in don't eat and don't drink, right? And how do we know it's not open to other interpretations? Okay. If I could take a typical Rambam approach, the Rambam would say that these Gemaras over here are great to think about, but when all said and done, it's part of our Mesorah, it's part of the Torah Shabbat Peh, that the inisim is achila v'shtia. Okay. All right. We did the same thing in Sukkah, right? The Gemara spends a lot of time in Sukkah. How do I know the lulav is a palm frond? Right? How do I know the esrog is a citron? Right. I don't know what other word to use in Hebrew for esrog, but in other words, but the Torah doesn't say esrog. The Torah says priyetz hadar, and the Gemara goes a whole back and forth. Well, maybe it can't be that. The Rambam writes very clearly. We knew the answer. It's just that the Gemara likes this exercise of seeing if we can argue it out. If we could see the parameters in the Torah, so here this it's the same thing. So one argument is that look, the Torah says don't do malacha. Malacha by definition is an abstention of work. So to over here, the kind of inuim that we're describing over here is an abstention of work. Okay, good. Next, not an abstention of work, but just abstention, meaning it's a lack of doing something. If it requires, I knew it was coming. If it requires me to go outside, so that's something that I have to do. Inui by definition is something I don't do. Lo neim alei kum tum betula. And Yasei Betula v'karir lei lo name lei tum kum tov b'shimsha. The Gemara still pushes a little bit more on this point. Maybe you're already outside and it's already hot, and maybe inui for you would just simply be stay there, or you're cold, and maybe the inui would be stay there. That's abstention. That's lack of activity. So the Gemara says no. Dumi d'malacha ma malacha lo chilak tabaf inui lo sachlok bo. The Gemara says no. Malacha is objective. Malacha is don't do work. So inui also is don't do the following activity. And they're right. And it's not circumstantial. Well, if I'm there, if I'm here, that no, it's not circumstantial. It is an objective, something I'm not to do. Don't eat. Don't drink. Tanya Idach, the Gemara quotes another brisa. The second brisa is going to make the same point. Tanya was nafsho sechem yachol yeshe b'cham avitzin avit star tam alomer v'chom malacha lo sasu. Ma malacha davar shechayav n'alav b'makam acher af inui nefesh shechayav n'alav b'makam acher. Sorry. This brisa is going to be making the same point, but a different argument. And that is just like malacha is where we know malacha from other areas, i.e. Shabbos, i.e. Yontif. So too, the inui is got to be an inui we know from somewhere else as well. Where else do we know inui from? The ezez pigo v'nosar. The Torah prohibits eating. Where does the Torah prohibit eating? So we're going to go through a series of different isurei achila. We'll start with pigo v'nosar. So pigo v'nosar are prohibited. Right, I'm not going to go through the definitions right now, pigol nosar, just because of time consideration. But anyway, they're isuri achila. So avi pigol nosar shein bekares v'lo avi es hatevel shein bekares. All right, so fine. So if you eat pigol nosar, it's subject to the kares penalty. What about tevel? It doesn't have a kares penalty with it. So tamalam tanuvini semas nafshosechem riba. Okay, so you see the word inui repeat in the Torah. The repetition of the Torah tells us that it's not just limited to isuri kares. It also applies to tevel as well. So avi tevel shu b'misa v'lo avi es nevela shein b'misa. Okay, fine. So I can't eat tevel, but tevel has with it a punishment of misa b'dei shemaim. That's 1 degree lower than kares. Well, what about just eating nevela and treifa? That's just a lav. Tamalam tanu v'ini semes nafsho sechem riba. So that's inclusive. Avi es nevela shu b'lav v'lo avi es achulin shein b'lav. Okay. So on Yom Kippur I can't eat pickle nosar and I can't eat tevel and I can't eat nevela and treifa. What about just chul and just regular food? So tamalam tanu v'ini semastav shosechem riba. So once again, it is including avi achul shena bekum echol v'lo avi es truma shuhu shehi bekum echol. Yeah, what about truma? You know, by truma, not only is there no prohibition of eating truma, in fact, just the other way, there's a mitzvah to eat truma, if of course you're a kohen. So tamalam tanu v'ini semastav shosechem riba. So the inui includes even foods that I'm supposed to eat. So when it comes to kachim, not only is there a mitzvah to eat kachim, I'm not allowed to leave leftovers. So tamalam tanu v'ini semes nafshosechem riba. Okay. V'im nafshechalom harei omer v'avadati. Okay. So that is all but one argument. This argument basically is saying that we know isuri achila. Okay, now it's funny because when all said and done, not only it applies to foods that are asur b'achila, it even applies to food that are mutar b'achila, and even applies to food that there's a mitzvah to eat. But at least though, there is a starting point of the Torah prohibits eating certain foods. Okay, so now I'm going to take that, and I'm just going to simply transfer that over to Yom Kippur. And that's what V'inisim is coming to say. V'im nafshechalomar, and the Braisa says, but wait, I'm not done. You want another reason? I'll give you another reason. Harei omer v'havadati es nefesh ahi. So v'havadati es nefesh, you're going to lose your nefesh. And now the Gemara is going to darshan. Meaning, not the simple reading, of course, is that if you eat on Yom Kippur, or if you're not ma'ana yourself on Yom Kippur, so then you're going to have havadas nefesh, otherwise known as kares. But now what we're doing is that we're giving another layer of interpretation. Inui shu avedas nefesh. So it's a kind of inui where you're going to be losing a little bit. Okay, and I say this not jokingly. You lose a little bit of weight on Yom Kippur. So ve'ezah zezah achila v'shtia. Okay, so, and that's how we know that inui involves avedas nefesh, meaning a loss of weight, meaning you're not going to eat. So my ve'im nefeshech alamar. So the braisa over here, you see what happened to the braisa? The braisa over here tried on 2 different explanations how we know that inui means abstention from eating and drinking. So why did the braisa go to the second approach? Obviously, the braisa was unhappy with the first approach. So maybe the pasuk is talking about arayas. So meaning arayas is also elsewhere in the Torah. So no, it's talking about achila v'shtia. Okay. Debei Rebbe Shmuel Tana. One more brisa for today. So it says Inui over here. It says Inui elsewhere. Where does it say Inui elsewhere? By the man. Vayancha v'yarivecha. So we're going to see it soon enough in Parshas. I think it's Parshas Ekev. So the but meanwhile Inui of the man. So the so that is obviously food related. So too the Inui of Yom Kippur is food related. Vinelov me'imtan es benosai. So the Gemara says, okay, if you're looking for where the Torah describes Inui, so Lavan and Yaakov, Lavan says to Yaakov, you're not going to be marrying additional wives. Meaning, right, when they finally come to some sort of peace together, Lavan and Yaakov, so Lavan says to Yaakov, here, make the following promise. And that is that imtan es benosai. If you afflict my daughters by marrying somebody else, you're not allowed to marry somebody else. So that obviously is in the context of intimacy. So the Gemara says, "Dan in inu derabim inu derabim vein dan in inu derabim inu diachid." So the Gemara says, "Yeah, but that's Yaakov and Lavan. That was just for an individual. By the man, that obviously applies to the whole nation. That's a better inu for our purposes." The Gemara says, "Okay, you want to talk about inu for a whole nation? What about we just read this at the Seder night?" And meaning that the inui that we experienced in Mitzrayim is that intimacy between husband and wife was interrupted by the Mitzrayim. So there you see clearly that inui in the context of intimacy. So Eladanin inu b'deshamayim, inu b'deshamayim, ve'ein danin inu b'deshamayim, inu b'de'adam. Yeah, but that's man-made inui, and the better comparison is the man, because that is inui coming straight from Shamayim. This is our stopping point. The Gemara for a good part of tomorrow's daf. You see a lot of words in tomorrow's daf, so a lot of drushes regarding the man. Super enjoyable daf coming up tomorrow. In the meantime, however, let's quickly review. We started the eighth parak of the Masechta. We introduced to the Isurim of Yom Kippur, the Inuyim of Yom Kippur, five Inuyim that we detailed in the Mishnah. The Inu of Achila Vishtiya is an Isur in the Torah, and if one were to eat a shear, the Mishnah gave us a shear, kosevis for food, melolugma for drink. If one were to eat a shear, one would be subject to the kari's penalty. The Mishnah says that for the other inuim, there are heterim, or at least debated, as to whether or not they're heterim, that we're going to be discussing in a later daf coming up in our perek. The Gemara's main discussion today is the Mishnah used the words that these activities are asr, eating and drinking are asr. And the Mishnah seemed to have missed the mark, because the Mishnah should have said that there's going to come with it an Isser of Kares. And meanwhile, the Mishnah just simply says Aser. Why would the Mishnah use that language? So the Gemara says, because the Mishnah is talking about Chatzi Shir. Chatzi Shir does not have it with it an Isser Kares. So Chatzi Shir is Aser min HaTorah, Aser min HaRabbanan. And that, of course, is a machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. And for most of today's daf, so the Gemara discussed this machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish as to Chatzi Shir being an Isser min HaTorah or an Isser min HaRabbanan. Rav Yochanan says it's an Isser min HaTorah, and Reish Lakish says that it is an Isser midrabanan. Why? And then the first part of today's daf was really complex, as we saw that Reish Lakish, who holds that it's an Isser midrabanan, so the Gemara put together a couple of positions of Reish Lakish to see whether or not this bears out for Reish Lakish throughout Chas, that an Isser midrabanan can be subject to a carbon shvua by shvuas of achila by shvuas of edus. Okay, that part admittedly was complex. What's the svara behind Rav Yochanan? So the Gemara tells us, and on the bottom of Ayin Dalamad Aleph, it's chazi leads to rufe. Since it can combine to make a shear, so that means that each bit is significant, and the Torah prohibits each bit as well. Good. Reish Lakish says no. The prohibition of the Torah is achila, and achila by its very definition has to be a shear. Anything less than a shear is not asur min HaTorah. That's as far as back and forth. And then the Gemara went and had a dialogue between, taught us a dialogue between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rav Yochanan challenged Reish Lakish from a brisa. Reish Lakish defended his position, and we ended in a stalemate. The Gemara did not conclude in terms of which is the more correct position, if you will, which is the accepted position. On the Amud Beis of today's Gemara, the Torah never says don't eat on Yom Kippur. The Torah says v'nisim es nafsho seichem. How do I know that that is in reference in relationship to achila v'shtiyah? That's a wonderful question. And the Gemara, we went through two brises, three different reasons why we know it's achila v'shtia. And again, as I suggested, right, we knew the conclusion all along. It's just a question of whether we could see it in the psukim themselves. And so the Gemara tried on a number of different svaras in terms of how we know that it's achila v'shtia. The last one being that we saw the word inu in the context of eating. Which eating? Achila saman. Right? Oddly enough, the Torah describes as vaya'ancha. It's an inu. The man was an inu. He was an affliction. The obvious question we're going to start with tomorrow is, man's an affliction? Wasn't it delicious?
No, not having man's an affliction.
Okay, so we'll, good. Well, tomorrow. Okay. come back.